As we kick off what is known as Holy Week, what's today? You mean like a machine, like a palm, or? Palm Sunday. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. We're going to look up about two or three scriptures here real quick. How many prophecies are in the Old Testament about Jesus? How many prophecies are there in the Old Testament about Jesus? Kirk, you know?
I
heard Chip Ingram say this week that there are 700 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus. Now, what are the odds that they'd all come true? What's the odds that two would come true that would prophesy 3,000, 4,000 years before it happened? 2,000 years before it happened. But for all 700 to come true, and there's a couple that haven't yet, they're coming. There's a little bit about Christ coming back. Zechariah 14, going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives are going to split in two. But Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9 tells us about what the people called Palm Sunday. Now, why did they call it Palm Sunday? Because of palm branches, okay? Rejoice, O greatly, in verse 9, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. To you he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. So Jesus comes, was prophesied, would come to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Turn with me to Matthew 21. When we were in college, we had what was called the harmony of the Gospels. You know, you hear a lot of people saying, well, you can't trust the Bible. It's wrong here and it's wrong there and it's wrong somewhere else. But there is what's called, and we had a class that was called the harmony of the Gospels. And it's amazing that this story was written by Matthew, by Mark, by Luke, and by John. Yeah.
I have your answer.
Okay.
The probability of being struck by lightning in a year is 7 times 10 to the 5th power. That's 1 in 700,000. Being killed by lightning in a year is 1 in 2 million. That's 6 zeros. Chance of probability of becoming president is 1 in 10 million. Chance of a meteorite landing on your house is 1 in 10 with 14 zeros. And the chance of 7 of those prophecies, 7 prophecies coming true is 2.8 times 10 with 28 zeros. 28 zeros.
That's even bigger than national debt.
It's a mathematical impossibility.
It's a mathematical impossibility. How many have ever heard that with God all things are what?
Possible.
Possible. So two of those coming true, or 7 of those coming true, but 700? You know, this relationship with God is not for dummies. You say, what are you talking about? It takes a lot to believe that this didn't happen. Look at me. It takes more faith that God was just a figment of someone's imagination and Jesus never existed than to come to a place that, hey, I believe that. Okay? Because we know and history would tell us that is true. Do you realize his death and his resurrection was prophesied in the Old Testament? And so, It's absolutely amazing as you put this stuff together and you start looking at it and start realizing there is a God. There is a man who walked on earth that was named Jesus. He did die for us and he rose again and he wants a relationship with me. Matthew chapter 21, listen to this, verse 1 through 4, then we're going to Luke chapter 19. When he came to near Jerusalem and came to Bethlehem at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose her and bring him to me. And if anyone says anything to you, just say, the Lord has need of him, and immediately he will send them. Now listen to this. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. All this was done. It was prophesied and it was fulfilled. It came to pass. Go with me to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to take a few statements out of here that might not have a whole bunch to do with Palm Sunday, but we just want you to see this. Verse number 30. And Jesus was saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said. Don't miss that. We're going to talk about that. Found it how? Just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And he went, many spread their clothes on the road, and as he was now drawing near this descent of the Mount of Olives, a whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they've seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said to them, I'll tell you that if these would keep silent, the stones would cry. As worship continued this morning, it came to my mind, Lord, as this builds and builds and builds and builds, if suddenly we decide to be quiet, what are these chairs going to do? Would you rather have the chairs praise God, or would you like to be part of that? There's some things here I want you to look at, and it's very interesting. Because how many have ever really sat down and thought the Lord had needs? You know, the Bible tells us, I believe it's in Mark, that Jesus had widows that gave to his subsistence. There were people as Jesus walked on the earth that paid the bills. And now we come to a place where Jesus says, go loose the colt, and if anyone says anything about it, just tell them the Lord has need of it. Now, I would radically deny that God had needs. I would say, no, you can't be. He's self-existent. He's eternally existent. What does he need? And I was reading this and just reading these little simple statements that sometimes we just read over. Suddenly something popped. How many have ever heard the song, "If We Are the Body, Why Aren't Our Hands Healing? Why Aren't Our Feet Walking?" Do you know the rest of it, Kirk?
Why aren't our words teaching?
I was coming to church the other day and that song was playing. I thought, wow, I've heard it before. But you know, you have kind of a leap in your spirit when something just takes hold of it. Why does God need us? Oh, he wants our praise. Yeah, but he doesn't absolutely need that. There is a reason God needs us. And you may look at me and say, oh, Pastor, what happened now? God needs us to be his hands and his feet, his mouth, demonstrate his love to others. Very seldom will you have an angelic encounter that preaches, or will people have a vision or a encounter with Jesus where he preaches to them. I know Saul had it. But basically, he left the preaching, the witnessing, and the ministry to the Holy Spirit through us to do it. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let's go back. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom, did through the foolishness of the message, it pleased God. Let's start over. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through the wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It pleased God through the message preached. Now, who are the preachers? Okay, look at me. You're either a saint or an ain't. You're either a preacher or you're one that needs to be preached to. So now, who are preachers in this congregation? Who are the messengers? Come on!
We are.
Okay. I know you say, well, that's what pastor gets paid for. That's what Kirk makes all those big bucks about. We're in this together. We're in this to declare the message. Look at verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty. You know, if you look at it and you analyze what we're doing here in the natural, as we said, you know, ridiculous praise. A lot of people would tell you that going to church for over 25 minutes on Sunday is ridiculous and it's a good way to ruin a good day. And they'll look at you and say, what is going on? But God has appointed and anointed and called us, sometimes who are looked at foolish. They called the disciples ignorant fishermen, but they had to take notice they'd been with God. You need an encounter with God, and I need an encounter with God, that we don't care what the people think. If they want to call us foolish, or they want to call us idiots, or they want to call us anything, they called Jesus demon-possessed. It doesn't matter. Bring them on. Because their eyes are blinded. Their minds are blinded. God wants and asks and desires and is almost to the place of saying, folks, listen to me. I want you. I commissioned you. Yes, I need you to reach this world with the kingdom gospel that will change people's lives. He needed a donkey. I won't say that thought. And they brought it to him. And they led him into town. He brought you to this place at this moment for a specific purpose. That we are absolutely, radically touched by the power of God and go out there in the anointing, and we're not afraid, we're not ashamed, we're not worried about it. We don't care if people reject us. So what? If you're worried about failure, you're never going to do anything. Nobody said amen, but it's true. Scott, if he's worried about losing a football game, he's not going to put a team out there. Because if you're going to get the victor spoils, you have to get in the game. And if you're going to get the rewards that God has laid out for us and wants to bless us with, you got to start following him. It doesn't matter about anything else. We forgot the old song, though none go with me, still I will what? I'll follow. I'm going after it, God. What chance do your friends have if you give up? What chance do your families have if you say, I'm throwing in the towel on this stuff and I'm just going to be quiet? You know, after all, nothing's working. What do you mean nothing's working? You're serving God. How many of you are better off now in the kingdom of God than you were when you were in the world? Come on!
Yep. Amen.
You got to look at that sometimes. You got to realize, what is there to go back to? If you weren't in Brookings on Wednesday night, you should have been.
Amen.
It was amazing. Because there's a heaven and there's a hell. And your destiny and mine are going to be one or the other. I don't care what people say about it. I don't care what they put on Facebook. I don't care what they announce. I don't care what they declare. Let God be true and everybody else be a liar.
That's right.
Come on.
Amen.
It's like I put on Facebook last night. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. Quit arguing with them. Tell them the truth. Let them take it where they want to. Okay, I know I'm on a rabbit trail. But I caught this one. Preaching. Lord has need of us. I'm going to tell you something. Your family has needs of you. They need to hear truth. Your friends, they need to hear the foolishness of preaching that the Bible calls it, because it is foolishness of those who are perishing. We need to hear it. Go back with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. So those who were sent, in verse 32, went their way. Don't miss this. And they found it just as he said. They went their way, and they found it just as he said. I've heard of rustling cattle and I heard of rustling horses, but I never heard of somebody stealing a mule. But they followed what Jesus said. They went into the city, and the way he described it was just the way they found it. Okay, look at me. How many of you absolutely understand and absolutely know that your friends are smarter than God. Then why do sometimes we believe our friends? How many of us understand that when Jesus says something, and here's the key, whatever he said is going to happen. Whatever was prophesied about him under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to happen. But sometimes we start missing what's going on, and we think that because so many people say it, they have to be right and God is wrong, so we'll take the risk of letting our standard down. I want you to know this morning, I want you to walk out of here with full assurance. I don't care who says it's not going to happen. I don't care who denies that God is real. I don't care what they think about salvation. What Jesus said is real. And you need to give the Lord a hand about it. It's about him, and it's going to happen exactly as he said. Whatever. There's no debate. And what does Satan want to do? Satan just want to fill your mind with second guessing and questions and lies, deceptions. Jesus told him, go get the colt. They went there, and there it was. Surprise? He said, go to an upper room. You're going to find a man carrying a pitcher on his ear. Go ahead. Go prepare the Last Supper. They found it just as he said. There's a man walking. They got behind him and followed him all the way home. They walked in his house and said, can we use your building? Can we use your building? Can we use your upper room? Just as he said. Are you ready to believe what he said is going to happen? Is going to happen? You don't have to listen to the arguments. Accept what he says is fact. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and this may you may think is way off base. Hebrews chapter 12. How many have seen the pictures of the earthquake in Japan? Pretty devastating. But there's a shaking coming that's going to make that look like nothing really happened. Keep in mind the promises of God are what? The promises of God are what? Yes and amen to who? Those who believe. Tough word this morning. Understand that. The promises of God are yes and amen to those who how many believe? This is a fun day. I'm going to have to hire James to walk around and grab you by the hair and get your attention. Pretty soon. How many realize something's being shaken? How many realize there's something going on? This whole thing that's going on isn't just not natural. Or are you living in a dugout somewhere in the middle of the earth? Here's what God says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape, you refused him who spoke on earth much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. The words now are coming from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, yes, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, look at me. The only thing that cannot and will not be shaken in the days that we live is the kingdom of God. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God has promised that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and only that which cannot be shaken is going to remain. Okay, look at me. Everything, say everything,
everything,
in your life and my life, that is selfish, that is not about God, that is making me angry, that is getting me down, that is discouraging me, it's going to be shaken. All Dwight's petty pouting, all my concern, well, they didn't give me a fair shake, everything that's going on that is not of God in your life, probably starting already, is going to be shaken. This world is going to be shaken beyond anything we can imagine. Governments are going to be shaken. It's happening in the States. Things are being shaken. And it's not that you should say, God, please don't shake it. It's going to happen. Just as he said that they'd find the donkey, just as he said the gospel is going to be preached, the kingdoms are going to be shaken, God's kingdom is being established, grounded on the foundation, Jesus Christ, and everything, say everything again, everything your life, in your life that is not founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ is going to be shaken. I love the way you're shouting. You should be saying, bring it on. Come on, Lord, let's get it over with. I want to be where you can absolutely, radically take me in this day, at this time, to do what you want me to do, because it's going to happen, and the more you resist, the more you're going to be shaken. Somebody say amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm getting scared. No, you don't have to get scared. Just be obedient. It's not about panic. It's not about fear. It's not about anything else. It's just coming to God and saying, God, this is in me. I don't want it there. God loves you enough to radically rattle your cage. So the question you need to ask yourself, God, what's in my life that doesn't please you? What's in my life that is contrary to your word? What emotion am I living by that just I shouldn't have? Because there's a shaking coming. It's not Elvis' song either. And you say, well, I don't like it. He's doing it for your good. It's going to happen. You know, that's why in the middle of worship, hallelujah, in the middle of praising God, in the middle of God just coming in this place with a torrent of his heavenly rain, and he says, what about this area? You just say, God, take it. It's yours. Remember the statement, he is no fool who gives up what you can't keep to gain that which you can't lose? There are things in your life with God, and in my life, I'm not preaching to you only, I preach this to myself, that God is looking at, and God is saying, I don't want that, but I want more of this. It was real interesting because I'm in retreat, and God's been talking to me for a long time. He said, I want you praying in the Spirit more. I don't want you praying in the Spirit less. I don't want you allowing the Holy Spirit to pray with you less. I want you to radically sell out to the Spirit of God. And during service and during times of your prayer and during times you're just walking through the building, I want you praising me in my heavenly language that I've given you. Radical Stupid? No. Powerful. You know why? Because God knew today would come. And you may look at me and say, but I don't have it. Get it. This promise is unto you and your children and those who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. It's for all of us. We should be so hungry knowing what's coming. We should be so hungry for more of God. We'll say, God, got to have this. I got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I got to walk in the Holy Spirit. I got to live in the Holy Spirit. I got to deny everything in my life that wants to separate me from that Spirit of God that just wants to control my life. I need to walk with God. Shake me up, Lord. No, if you're not agreeing with me, at least you could get mad. Hear a few doors slam, at least I know I'm hitting the point. It's happening, friends. It's happening right now, and it's happening in your life to a degree. God is saying, how much do I have to shake? God, I'm on my face. God, I'm here. Whatever it takes, Lord. How many have ever prayed that? Then how come we whine when he happens to do something? Oh, the devil's doing that. Maybe not. Maybe God's answering your prayers. Hallelujah. Back to Luke chapter 19. I shouted so long in praise, I'm like, Kirk, I'm losing my voice. Maybe I'm just shouting at you too much. No, they got the colt, they put Jesus on it. Verse 37, and he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they have seen. How many of you praise God for the mighty works you've seen? How many need to see some mighty works so we can praise God? Let's bring them on, Lord. You'll do great exploits. So they begin to praise Jesus for the mighty works they've seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Don't forget this. Look at me. And some of the Pharisees called to him through the crowd and said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Look at me. Everybody. The religious and demonic spirits do not like to see you praising God. Come on. If you come in here, and Kirk and the worship team and Marnie are leading worship, and you go, oh, I wish they would stop that. Rebuke it! Right now! It's not God. Well, I'm going to come late so I don't have to stand there for an hour and a half and praise God. How about 24/7 for a million years? Huh? You can tell God, I want to go to hell. I don't like this place. Too much praise. But understand something. Every demonic force in Sisseton and every religious person in this community will tell you, shut up. That's a sign that you're doing what God wants you to do. That's a sign that you're pleasing God. That's a sign that God is pleased with it. I'm sorry if people don't come to church here because of such and such and such and such, and some of that we may change. But we're not going to change worship. We're not going to change praising God. That's the foundation of this church. Put a clock up there and say, Pastor, preach for 10 minutes. That's fine. I'll get you offended in that time. doesn't take a whole long time to get you offended. But the people begin to radically, ridiculously praise him. You think that was ridiculous? Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on, Lord. We need that new song in our hearts when we walk in this place. We need that new song in our hearts when we walk out to face this world. We need to absolutely be absorbed in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how do you know you are? How do you know you are? How do you know you are? You know you are when you walk out that door and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can't do anything but praise God. You're walking around, you're praising God. Yeah. Sometimes you need to do it under your breath, but do it. Because friends, there's not only a shaking in the physical world, there's a whole lot of shaking going on in the spiritual. God is saying, I'm going to raise the temple in that place. I'm going to rise it up. I'm going to fill it up. I'm going to send a flood through this town. It's got to start somewhere. Why not here? Why not here? What do we want to be known for? You ever stop and ask, what does Christian Outreach Center want to be known for? It's not pastors preaching. It's the presence of God. If you want to meet with God, walk in there. Those people are meeting with God. The presence of God attracts. Doesn't push out. The flesh pushes out. The flesh pushes people away. The Spirit of God attracts. The presence of God brings people in from all over the world. We want a new building? Fill it with the presence of God. Amen? Yeah. Come on. Lord has need of us, folks. Not the kind of need that we talk about, that we're needy people. He just has a need to get his gospel out there in people's lives. You'll find God's word fulfilled just as he said. And you're going to find out when you get radical and ridiculous praising God that people are going to try to shut you up. You know what Satan tries to do? He'll just try to do something stupid to get your attention off Jesus. Walk through it. Amen? Amen. Walk through it in the name of Jesus. Go through it in the name of Jesus. Tell that water to get back where it belongs. Or split the road with them like the Red Sea. Tell your situations. You don't have to put up with them anymore. There's enough going on. Tell Satan, get your hand off our kids. In the name of Jesus, they're going to serve you and they're coming home. Break it. Come on. Don't pout. Don't say, God, why didn't you do something? You know what God's doing sometimes? He's looking at us and he's looking at me and saying, why don't you do something? I've given you the power. Amen? Amen?